Well, as I was saying, 2 weeks ago we covered the Beatitude, Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. And we also looked at the other part of that Beatitude, Blessed are you who mourn now, for you will laugh. But ever since that sermon, I have been, well, unsatisfied with the level of attention that I gave to what it means to have a hunger for God. And I just couldn't shake it. It was something that just kept on my heart, and I said, okay, I have to dedicate an entire message specifically to that topic. And so, to that end, the great pastor and theologian Jonathan Edwards said, the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. To go to heaven, fully to enjoy God, is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here. These are but shadows, but God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the ocean. Do you believe this to be true? Do you believe that enjoying God is the only happiness that fully satisfies your soul? Do you believe that to fully enjoy God in heaven is infinitely better than the most luxurious tropical resort found on earth? Points for honesty is right. That's right. Do you believe that the pleasures of this world are but a shadow, scattered sunbeams, a small trickling stream, while God is the substance, the sun, and the ocean? Here is arguably the more important question. Do you live your life as if these things were true? It's easy to say, I believe these things, but do you live them? Does the manner in which you live demonstrate that your greatest joy and satisfaction is in God and not in the things of this world? Do you hunger and thirst for this truth to be more of a reality for you? The intent of this message is to awaken in you a greater and deeper hunger for God that yearns to be satisfied in Him. And so, in order to accomplish that, I'm going to answer the following questions. What do our souls hunger for? Why do our souls hunger for God? How do we hunger for God? And what if we don't find satisfaction in God? Okay? What, why, how, what? What do our souls hunger for? Why do our souls hunger for God? How do we hunger for God? And what if we are not experiencing satisfaction in God? This is where we're heading. And this is why, maybe you can tell, I'm so passionate to talk about this message, why I couldn't shake it. So much to say. Let's begin with the first question. What do our souls hunger for? The assumption that I start with is the fact that every human soul hungers for something. We crave to have purpose and significance in our lives. We yearn to be loved and accepted and valued. We have a strong inner desire to belong. We hunger to have security and peace and rest. We desire to experience real joy and happiness. We know that this is true because everyone in this room has those deep-rooted desires in our hearts. Every soul hungers. Every soul craves and longs for something. It's not hard to convince people of that. Anyone who denies that our souls hunger for something is really not in touch with reality. What is difficult to convince people of is that we are ultimately hungering for God. Everything that their soul longs for is really a hunger for God. And the reason why this is true is because if we have God, then we have all the other things that our soul hungers for. If we have God, then we have purpose and significance in our life. If we have God, then we receive the love and the care that our soul craves. If we have God, then we experience acceptance and belonging. If we have God, then we have true security and peace and rest. And if we have God, then we experience real, everlasting, eternal joy and happiness in His presence. Those desires that every soul longs for are real and they are significant, but they are just pieces that make up the greater and ultimate desire for God. They are smaller hungers that point to the greater and ultimate hunger for God. And so every soul hungers. And not only that, every soul truly does hunger for God. Whether a believer or a non-believer, every soul is hungering for God. Now that's the what. Now let's address the why. Why do our souls hunger for God? Well, let me suggest that it's because God is the only one that can satisfy the hunger of our souls. God is the only one that can satisfy our hungry souls. The idea is that as a result of sin, our hearts have this God-sized void. And we try to fill that void with all these other things in the world. But they never fill it. And we are left with emptiness. We remain empty and are still in need to be filled. Or said in a different way, you can think about it this way. Suppose you are starving and you're really hungry. Eating cotton candy will not satisfy your hunger. It might be tasty, but it will leave you just as hungry as you were before. Junk food may temporarily take the edge off your hunger, but you need something more substantial in order to truly be satisfied. Now, in the same way, the world offers only junk food that temporarily satisfies your soul's hunger. Do you believe this to be true? I think it's absolutely true, because whenever we seek out something in order to satisfy our heart, something from this world, and we actually get it, what happens? It eventually loses its appeal. It loses its luster. And we have to move on to something else in order to satisfy us. We're all like the mouse from If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, right? If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want a glass of milk, and then he's going to want this, and he's going to want this. We think that if we just had more money, then we'll be satisfied. But what happens when we get that money is that we want more of it. We need more of it in order to achieve that level of satisfaction that our soul longs for. We become dissatisfied with where we were previously. Now, the same thing could be said of comfort or security or possessions or power or anything that this world offers. If we are not careful, the hunt for satisfaction in the things of this world will end up causing us to need more in order to be satisfied. The void in our hearts simply cannot be filled with the things of this world. As Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. There is a song written by a non-believer, as far as I know, that's called Never Enough. And it's a beautiful song, but it's really quite sad when you listen to its lyrics. The singer says, all the shine of 1,000 spotlights, all the stars that we steal from the night sky will never be enough. It will never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it will never be enough. Never be enough for me. See, the singer is saying that she can have all the spotlight on her. She can have all the fame. She can have tons of money. She can have the whole world itself. But it will never be enough. She will always want more. And the same is true for us. If we just think that we get this new car, this new job, or this new status, or this new thing, it'll never be enough. These things that we enjoy in this world are temporary, fleeting joys, but they will never be enough. We will always need more in order to be satisfied. The things of this world will at best temporarily satiate your hunger. And so how do we deal with this? How do we respond to such a reality? How do we cope? How do we interact with the things of this world knowing that they are temporary and they will not fill us and satisfy us? Well, C.S. Lewis gives us three ways that we can respond to such a reality. The first way he calls the way of the fool. And the way of the fool is one who, if they're not finding satisfaction in one thing, well, they jump to something else in order to be satisfied. If you no longer find satisfaction in money, well, let's try relationships. And when that well runs dry, well, let's try something else. And then something else, and then something else. That's why he calls it the fool. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again, hoping to get a different result. You are constantly going from one broken well to another, trying to find some water in order to quench the thirst of your soul. But you keep going from different thing to different thing. That is the one way that C.S. Lewis says that we can respond to this in order to satisfy, or in attempts to try to satisfy our soul. He calls it the way of the fool. The second way is the way of the sensible man, he puts it. And he says that way is basically you fall into despair. After going from broken well to broken well, you naturally begin to despair because you realize that nothing in this world will satisfy you. And so what happens is that you turn into this cynical, pessimistic, bitter person. You just believe you're born, you work, you pay taxes, and you die. That's what life's about. This is the way of the quote-unquote sensible man, according to C.S. Lewis. Now, the third way to respond is the way of the Christian, the person who truly believes in Christ. And C.S. Lewis writes this famous quote, you may have heard it before, if I find in myself a desire which no experience on this earth can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. In other words, the believer says, if nothing in this world can satisfy the hunger of my soul, then the most logical explanation is that I was made for another world which contains that which will fully satisfy the longing of my heart. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we were made for God, who alone can truly and eternally satisfy our soul. Our souls are satisfied in Him alone. Now, don't let just reason and logic convince you. Hear what the Bible has to say in the matter. Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9, we read this for the call to worship. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Who doesn't want pleasures forevermore and a life full of joy? They are only found in the presence of God. And therefore, the hunger of our souls is for God, and the ultimate eternal satisfaction and joy are found in his presence. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and listen. Come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Do you hear what the Lord is saying through the prophet Isaiah? He's saying, if you are thirsty, come to me and find your soul refreshed. Why work and toil for that, for the things of this world that will not satisfy you? Come to me, the Lord says, and find your satisfaction, and your soul will live. Two more verses, both from Jesus. John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Jesus said to her, he's talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Comment on that in just a second. John 6:25, Jesus also now talking to the crowd of the five, mostly of the 5,000 who he just fed the previous day. He says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Brothers and sisters, all worldly wells will eventually run dry and will leave you thirsty again. All worldly bread that you consume to satiate the hunger of your souls will run out and will grow stale. And we will be left starving once again. But drinking deeply of the living water which is Christ, will bring eternal satisfaction to your soul. Consuming the true bread of life, which is Christ, will sustain and satisfy you forever. You will never be thirsty again when you drink deeply of Christ, and you will never be hungry again after coming to and feeding on Christ, the true eternal bread of life. For us believers, we will, for all eternity, for infinite years and beyond, we will drink deeply and feed on Christ. For he will always and ever continually be the satisfaction for our souls. And so the question that I asked at the beginning of this point was, why do our souls hunger for God? And I think the answer is because he is what we ultimately need. He will ultimately and fully satisfy our souls. There is nothing else that will fill the void in our hearts. There is nothing else that will quench the agonizing thirst of our souls. We are made for God. We were not made for the world. And so we hunger for him because he is the only one who will truly and fully and ultimately satisfy our hunger. Our soul is satisfied in him alone. That's why I picked Give Me Jesus, right? You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. So we've answered the what our souls hunger for, why our souls hunger for God, and now we will address the how. How? How do we hunger for God so that we are satisfied in him? Or maybe some of you are asking, I have no appetite for God, but I want one. How do I hunger for God? How do I hunger more for God? Well, how to hunger for God is not some magic formula. Having a right hunger for God and finding satisfaction in him is truly the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. But I do believe that we can practice some particular disciplines that position our hearts, put our hearts in a better place to hunger for more of God. And so I'm going to make six suggestions, six ways, and it's not exhaustive, but six ways that can potentially help you hunger for God and find your satisfaction in him. We'll go quickly. Number one, go on a diet from the world. Go on a diet from the world. At the heart of this suggestion is to not allow the world to exhibit more influence on you than the Word of God. Don't let Sunday mornings be the only time that you spend with God, and then the rest of your week being filled with worldliness. To use my illustration from a few weeks back, don't stuff yourself with the chips of the world so that you have no appetite for God. Reduce your calorie intake of worldly activities. Completely eliminate sinful behaviors like gossiping or greed or idolatry. And consider limiting the time you spend watching TV or scrolling through your phone or using the internet if they are dulling your appetite for God. Go on a diet from the world and anything that lessens and reduces your hunger for God. Number two, feed your faith by binging on God's word. Now, this is the opposite of the first suggestion. In order to truly hunger for more of God, you need to read God's word. You need to increase your daily intake of his word. You will not hunger for God if you are not reading his word. Period. End of story. And so, read and think deeply about God's word on a daily basis. Treat it as spiritual food. You rarely go a few hours, let alone a whole day, without eating physical food. And so don't go a day without consuming God's word in order to nourish your soul. Now, to that end, let me encourage you to read through the whole Bible cover to cover. You can do it in a year. You can do it in less than a year if you want. You can do it over 2 years. I suggest really the year, but what I want to do is read through the Bible. And as you read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, let me tell you, you will marvel at God's plan and how he just meticulously weaves every single detail according to his sovereign purposes. He stitches every detail together for his good and for his glory. Be in awe at the power of God working throughout the Bible, and let it drive you to hunger more for him. Meditate and eat God's word slowly. Chew on it throughout the day. Treat it as a cough drop and suck on it throughout the day, and let it nourish your soul. And brothers and sisters, just see and savor God in that manner and watch your hunger for God grow. The more you read God's word, let me tell you, two things will happen. One, you will find the hunger of your soul more satisfied in God. And two, that will drive you to hunger to read more of God's word. It's a beautiful cycle. Get into that rhythm and watch that cycle blossom and grow your hunger for God. Feed your faith by binging on God's word. Number three, persist in prayer. We commune with God not only through his word, but also through prayer. When you consistently and intimately pray with God, it establishes a stronger connection in which we trust in God and rest secure in his sovereign control. And in this trust, we find the hunger of our souls satisfied. Now, if currently you have no appetite for God or little appetite for God, then persistently pray that God would give you that appetite, give you that hunger. Ask him to change your spiritual taste buds so that you may taste and see that the Lord is good. Pray persistently, and then, and this is crucial, wait patiently for the Lord to answer that prayer. Number four, be satisfied in God by fasting for God. Fasting is the practice of intentionally abstaining from something with the intent of drawing near to God. That last phrase is what sets apart Christian fasting from other fasting, right? You can fast from, a secular person can fast from food or technology or whatever, but what makes it distinctly Christian fasting is the intent of drawing near to God. And so that's what I want to encourage us. When I'm talking about fasting this morning, that's what I want to encourage. Fasting is the intentionally abstaining from something with the intent of drawing near to God. Now, typically, people fast from eating food for a period of time. But there are other things that you can fast from. You could fast from, consider going a whole day or even a whole week from watching TV, going on Facebook or social media, using your phone, using the internet, using technology in general. This list is certainly not exhaustive. There are a whole variety of things that you can fast from. The idea is that the fasting reveals how dependent we are on these things and how much more we need God. It opens our eyes to how these things are influencing us and how we are finding our satisfaction in them instead of in God. And so fast regularly in order to hunger more for God and find satisfaction in him. Number five. Okay, so number one was go on a diet from the world. Number two was feed your faith by binging on the word. Number three, persist in prayer. Number four, be satisfied in God by fasting for God. Number five, worship God. Worship God. If you want to hunger for God more and be more satisfied in him, then you must worship him. Worship him by singing corporately with others like we do on Sunday mornings. Worship him by singing to him by yourself in your house. Worship him by giving thanks for the big and the small things in your life. Worship him by praising him for who he is. Make worship not just something that you do on Sunday mornings, but that which characterizes your everyday life. As we hunger for God, worship him and watch your soul soar with satisfaction as you praise him. And number six, read good Christian books. Maybe that surprises you, but I really encourage reading solid, theologically sound, God-glorifying books. I can tell you from personal experience that the seasons of my life in which I most hungered for God and found most satisfaction in him were the seasons that I most regularly read good Christian books, obviously in addition to reading the Bible. Through the use of sound teaching from the Bible, these authors gave me greater insight into who God is and what he has done for me. And in doing so, it stirred in me an increasing hunger for more of God, to know him more, to love him more, to glorify him more. And in that, my soul was deeply satisfied in him. And so read good Christian books. If you need suggestions, you need some authors, you need some titles, I've got dozens that I can suggest for you. Some of which are even in our library that you can take out and borrow. And so read good Christian books. These are just some suggestions on how we hunger for God so that we can be more satisfied in him. But many of you may be thinking or worrying, what if I don't experience satisfaction in God? What do I do when I am not finding satisfaction in God? Well, if you're not experiencing joyful satisfaction in God, then I would first suggest that you continue to do those six things, those six disciplines that I was just mentioned. But let me briefly mention three emphases as you practice those disciplines. The first is, again, pray persistently. Persistently pray that God would cause you to be satisfied in him. That he would work in your heart to make you more satisfied in him. Psalm 90, verse 14 says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." Persevere in praying like that. God, cause me to be satisfied in you. Open my eyes to behold your glory and your beauty, and that would lead me to be satisfied in you. Cry out to God to be satisfied in him, that your soul would find its rest, its joy, its comfort, its thirst quenched in him. And let the groans of your heart lead you to greater dependence on God. And in that dependence, the seed of satisfaction in God will grow. Pray persistently. Second, read regularly. Do not neglect reading God's word just because you're not feeling satisfied in God. On the contrary, I would read more of God's word if that's the case. Perhaps you put a particular emphasis on reading the Psalms or the promises of God or the attributes of God, who he is. If you're not finding satisfaction in God, then read his word regularly and pray that God would open your eyes to see and savor him as you read. Third, commune with Christians. If you are not experiencing satisfaction with God, make greater efforts to be in community with other believers. This includes gathering like we do on Sunday mornings for corporate worship, but it also means getting together to maybe study the Bible, whether it's a church-sanctioned group or just something that you do on your own. Consider sharing a meal with a fellow brother and sister in Christ. Or maybe intentionally spend more time with other believers in your church community. Do things together, grocery shopping or going to a park, walking your dog. Do things together intentionally with your community. And the purpose of this is that by intentionally living in community with other believers, they will build you up and spur you on in your faith. They will encourage you and pray with you in this hard season as you are not finding satisfaction in God. And as you live and worship in this Christ-exalting, gospel-centered community, you will continually be pointed to God. And by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you continue to look at Christ, you will find your soul satisfied in God. And so, brothers and sisters, if I had to summarize this sermon in one sentence, it would be this: hunger for God and find your deepest satisfaction in Him. Hunger for God and find your deepest satisfaction in Him. Don't waste your life filling up on the worthless, empty calories of the world. Feast on God, for only He can satisfy your hungry soul. Remember what Jesus said in John 6. He said, "I'm the bread of life. Come to me, and I will satisfy your hunger forever." And so if you haven't come to Christ and trusted in Him, would you do so today? Would you trust that Jesus came and died for your sins in order that all of the longings of your heart may be fully satisfied in Him? Come to Christ and drink deeply for the satisfaction of your souls. Or maybe you've already come to the bread of life, and you've trusted in Christ, and you're a believer, and you're saved. Then my encouragement for you this morning is to continue to go to Jesus, the bread of life, and continue to enjoy the satisfaction for your soul. Every day, go to Jesus for the nourishment and the satisfaction of your soul. Why waste your money on worthless bread that will not satisfy you? Why labor and toil for worthless, worldly, temporary things that will not satiate your hunger? Why waste your time digging up worthless, worldly wells that will never quench your thirst? Go to God and eat and drink without cost. Feast on God for the satisfaction of your souls. Brothers and sisters, hunger for God and find your deepest satisfaction in Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious God and Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would awaken in our hearts a deeper longing for You, a deeper hunger for You. That God, that we would want to love You more, that we would want to know You more, that we would want to trust You more, that we would want to follow You more closely. God, give us a hunger for more of You. Forgive us, God, for the broken wells that we have gone to quench our thirst. Forgive us, God, for the stale bread that we go to consume, to fill in our hearts that which can only be filled by You. Father, would You awaken in us a desire, a greater desire for You? And would You give us new taste buds to see delight more in you and in your word. Would you, God, fix our eyes on you? And would we find our soul satisfied in your presence? Oh God, work in us in this capacity. Give us a greater hunger for you, and let us find our satisfaction in you and in you alone. We love you, our King Jesus. Let us be satisfied in you. We pray these things, Christ, in your mighty name.